This sale was recorded on the 3rd of September 1974, medium notice rent. Assume and accept the idea of theory
that as soon as you leave the physical body, you enter into a high state of being. But of course, this is definitely not so. I think it would be very wrong for anyone to suggest such a thing. Actually, of course, there are souls who leave your world and enter into a condition of life far removed from the old material condition and thought force and surrounding, but they're much more rare, and they are, in some senses, I suppose one should say, exceptional people. Of course, all this has got little, if anything, whatever, to do with religion. In fact, my experience has been that often those who are very religious in their aspect and their thought and way of life find things to some extent very difficult, because they assume, because of their thoughts and their ideas and their realization from what they've gathered from their religious background and upbringing and idea, that they will enter into a state of being where they are in a perfect state, enjoying a condition of life of a religious aspect of nature. And of course, in a sense, they do, but it's a world of unreality, it's a world of imagining, it's a world of self-creation. Of course, it would also be very true to say that every condition of life is a condition or world of self-creation. I think we have to get down to basics, and that is that a man is no more than he thinks. In your world, you are creating and have been creating for generations of time the very conditions under which you exist and live. Your world has come into being through generations and generations of people's thoughts and ideas, and you've created the kind of world in which you find yourselves. Everything that is brought into being comes from the thought forces within man, from the power within man. And if you're living in chaos, if you're living with strife and unrest and intolerance and all the other facets around and about you from which you suffer, then man really, in a sense, I think this is true to say, is only himself to blame. We oftentimes hear people railing against God. Why does God permit this? There cannot be a God to allow this or that to happen. Of course, it has nothing whatever to do with God. It has to do with man. Man has been given free will, man has been given the power to solve his own problems and to work out his own destiny and his own salvation. All the great prophets and all the great teachers, all the great spheres that have come into your world, all these great seers and souls that have come into your world have, to some extent, shown the path. And they all tally. They all give the same fundamental truth, that within man is the power to release himself from all the evils and all the things that beset him. He could change the world by the power of his thoughts and his actions that would follow after. You may wonder why I've come in this fashion to talk to you, but I realize that each one of you who have gathered here have come together for a definite purpose. A definite purpose so that in some measure you might be enabled to serve more sincerely and more definitely, more well, to help others, to encourage them to seek the higher teachings and the philosophy of life that we can present to you. We do not for one moment suggest that we can answer all your problems. We do not for one moment suggest that out of these sessions that you will have a full revelation. That would be ridiculous to contemplate. But during the coming months, it is our desire that you shall have factual, not that you need proof. I do not think that it is any longer really necessary or essential for you to receive more proof of our being near and close unto you. You do not need the evidence of survival that has been given you again and again in various forms, not necessarily only here. But what we want you to do, what we want you to understand, what we want you to realize is that we shall look upon each one of you as essential for the whole, that between us we shall contribute something which will make possible a certain experiments, among other things, which will be of value to prove to some extent to those in the outer world, if I can still refer to it, the reality of these things combined with spiritual consciousness and awareness, spiritual understanding of what might be done, what might be achieved by the efforts combined, not only of yourselves as a group, but of others who might be encouraged by these comings together, such as ours. We hope in the coming months that we should be able to bring various entities, souls, from various conditions of life, each one giving their own interpretation, because that is all they can ever hope to do, of their own environment, their own condition, their own experience of life here. But I must make it very clear that these are purely experimental. We may not always succeed in that which we hope to do. And we can only try. We are confident, of course, that with the power that is generated among you as a group, everything is possible. There are beings among you which you have no knowledge, perhaps. I'm not going to denote any particular individual, because I want you to stay together in complete love and in complete harmony, realizing that each one of you is an important part of the whole. I always think of life, whether it be in your world or whether it be in this. Indeed, both worlds are one, of course. All lives, in a sense, are one. All generations of peoples, in a sense, are one. But it is rather like a great tapestry, so vast that no one can possibly conceive of it in its full beauty. And that every stitch, every thread, is a life interwoven with the rest. Some perhaps not made much of a contribution, and perhaps some of the stitches, if you like, are in the darkened places of the picture. But to have a picture, whatever that picture may be, you must have light and shade. You must have black and white. Here and there, there will be color. I think people's lives are rather like this. Each one is playing a part. Each one is making a contribution to the tapestry in which we are all caught up. None of us can ever hope to see the full picture. Only perhaps a little piece here or there, which gives you a rough idea of what it could be like in the whole. But the point is, my friends, that each one of you have not been brought together willy-nilly. You haven't been brought together by chance. You may think so. It is possible or feasible that you should so think. But we have waited for a very long time for a reassembling of a group that we can utilize for the common good, that others might be blessed in due course by the efforts that are made by all of us concerned here today. We did not ask possible. We did not ask for perfection, for we ourselves are not perfect. We are aware of each one of you with all your better aspects of nature, better aspects of self, with the qualities that you possess, not just psychic, but deeper, spiritual. And of course we're not unaware of the failings. This is understandable. As I've said already, we do not profess ourselves to be perfect. We do not know all the answers. We do not know the full picture. But we do know that as a group so consistent, and it must not be changed, not by one jot or by one person, if you stay together in love and in harmony, working for the common good, out of this group can come many blessings. I know it is human and it is natural, and we would not expect otherwise than the fact that you should sometimes long to speak to your own. We are very much aware of this, and from time to time, of course, those whom you know, those whom you love, those who still mean so much to you, indeed those, in a sense, perhaps who brought you into this realization of truth, what you term spiritualism, we will not deny you the human rights for contact in that sense from time to time, but I want you to see this circle for what it can be, what it can become, what we can do here, away from the mundane and the material, away from the so-called psychic, if you like. There is so much psychic going on in your world today, of an order which, quite frankly, has little bearing upon the realm of the spirit. Indeed, I would go as far as to say that much that transpires in what you term spiritualism has little to do with us. Certainly not on the level that we would wish. I do not say this in an unkind spirit. I say it in sincerity that so many who have come into this great truth have never yet been fully awakened or brought to the realization of what it can become, what it is, what it's all about. I know that there are many sincere peoples endeavoring to the best of their ability to propagate the truth of these things of which we speak. But they are sometimes bogged down, if you like, by the materialistic attitudes of the peoples around and about them. And sometimes, in consequence, those who might have been shining lights in the darkness of your world have become sidetracked. Sometimes the spiritual faculties and gifts which are dormant within them have never been brought out and developed. I could refer to this medium in particular, whom we have used for over 40-odd years. And I can see that although we have achieved in some respects a great deal, many, many souls have been comforted, many have been helped, many have been guided and inspired. This is all very true. But we've never really, perhaps, had the opportunity to form a group that stayed together in balance, in harmony, to work on a high level of consciousness, that we might bring forth from our world something of real value. This is what we are hoping for. This is why, if you like, inadvertently, it may seem that you have been brought together from various parts of your country and abroad for a purpose, as instruments. You are part of a puzzle, if you like a jigsaw puzzle. I see you, in a sense, as if you all fit in, and you make a picture. And I realize that that because we see the blending of your natures, we see the blending of your auras. We realize that together we can accomplish a great deal. And so in the coming months, we should experiment. Of course, we were told that this could come about a long time ago. And we had to bide and wait our time until such time as it would be ripe. There are great possibilities here in this house. This house can be a beacon, and this circle can be the heart of it. And the instrument that we use, we hope and pray that in the coming years that are left, that he will be used on that higher level for which we have long desired and aspired. The donkey work is finished. May sound a crude statement, but we have served on a certain level for a very, very long time, and to some extent we should continue to serve on that level. But we want the house to be a beacon in the darkness for spiritual truth and spiritual awareness on a level which perhaps it has never been used before. Of course, there will be times when the personal, the evidential message must be given out to those whose needs are many, for truly they shall be comforted. But we must see our work in a broader, wider sense. Make use of this instrumentality and mediumship on that level for which we've so long desired. And we can only do this with a group such as you, who's prepared to give up time and effort and allow your personal, if you like, preferences or personal desires to be put in the balance. And you will be blessed. You do not ask for reward. You would not be sitting here today if that was your motive. You are here because you want truth, the fundamental truth of life eternal, and because you want to converse where possible with souls who can elevate and encourage and enlighten and inspire. This gives me great joy. I've waited a very long time for this. I've waited many years. We've had some false starts. But I'm not blaming anyone. We do not, as I've already said, expect people necessarily to be perfect. But sometimes individuals, for various reasons, fall by the wayside. And this is unfortunate. But I don't think any of you are going to fall by the wayside. We have been long, long time choosing, ferreting out, discarding when necessary. Individuals, not discarding them in our spiritual realizations for them and our thoughts and our love, but discarding them as perhaps not yet being ready, or perhaps in some measure being unsuitable for this group. It is indeed with great joy in my heart that I come this morning. I have stood in the wings, as you might say, waiting, biding my time, as indeed of others here present today. And now I feel that we can go ahead. I have been here, though it may strike your ears as difficult to appreciate or understand. I have been here by your time thousands of years. Time is as nothing. When I look back on my own life on earth, I realize what has happened to me. you turn time will happen to you. You will lose self, and then you will find your true self. This perhaps is almost for you like a conundrum, but it is a very true statement. Until you lose yourself, you will never find your true self. For that which is yourself, as you understand it, is a conglomeration of other people's thoughts, ideas, background, influences, some good, some not so good, some bad. The true self has a full revelation of the spirit. And that revelation of the Spirit is what we are endeavoring to bring to you. When you can see yourself not as a body, not as you see yourselves day by day, even though you may say you know each other very well, you may say we've lived a lifetime together and we know each other inside out, but you don't. You only see an aspect, you only see a part, you only see a particle. Love is a very much used word, and for some it means one thing, for others it means something else. Sometimes it's a combination of all sorts of things. But real love, as we understand it, is when you lose yourself in love, when you forget yourself completely and absolutely. And in the process of doing this, you begin to discover your real self, your spiritual self. You have a greater wisdom, a greater understanding, and a greater power than you ever thought was possible to possess. One can enumerate over the years, over centuries, individuals, as you term them, who have this great understanding, this great abiding love. Sometimes, through the passing of time, centuries, their words have been altered, their statements have not been clarified. Sometimes, unfortunately, individuals over the time that has passed have created out of the simplicity and the beauty of their statements and their lives, they have created religious bodies, groups, organizations, and goodness knows what else, and have nullified the truth and the effect of that truth, and they have made it so that man has been lost, as if you were in a desert of time. No oasis. Christ was a man whom I knew well. You may think this is a statement that cannot be verified. I'm not even going to attempt to verify this statement, because it would be, from your point of view, on a material level, impossible. Can only be, if it can be proven at all, on a level of spiritual awareness and consciousness of this truth of which I speak. Jesus of Nazareth was a man of great simplicity, a man such as yourselves in so many ways. It would be wrong to say that he was not also subjected to temptation, not in the way in which it is depicted in your Bible. For that is man's interpretation of the material concept. Jesus was spirit. Jesus had the power to overcome the flesh. or since has achieved because of his oneness with the divine power which makes life possible. We are all of the same spirit. We are not separate. Only our physical aspect and bodies separate us. The animating force behind all life is the spirit. And when one knows how to harness this power, when one knows how to utilize it for the good, not only of self, for that should always be the last thought, but for others. Jesus did not come into your world to found a religion.
Years ago, and the people who once inhabited your earth,
as those who are around and about you, ever present in your homes and your daily life. When man can perceive the magnificence of life, then he can conceive the realities of which we speak, that all life is one. You are separated. If indeed truly you are separated, you are separated by your material desires. You are separated by your stupidities and your foolishness, by your selfishness, by your impatience, by your intolerance, by your malice, by your hatred. Nations have been brought into being, and they have brought into being in consequence pride. They have brought into being national spirit, patriotism, flag waving, and the judges support and encourage death, disaster, tragedy. I have no time for religions. I have only time for people. I have only time for the spirits, which must be free to flow, which must break down the barriers that separate men from people, from people, from nation, from nation. Until man sees the true spirit that animates him as being part of the world of the spirit, irrespective of class, color, creed, nation, or spirit, or attitude, or mind, individual or collective, you'll come together to see truth, and truth as we know it to be. We will impart to you, but you will have to divest yourselves gradually of things which some of you indeed may even cherish, but we never ask of anyone to do anything that is against their natural, as they see it, inclination. We count that we might bring you peace within. Christ again, did he not say that peace is within? Did he not also say that God is within? You are God's. Peace is there, deep down, within you. Does not mean to say you must close your eyes and your ears to the world of the flesh. We know that you must tread the normal, natural path, as you understand it, of materialism. But if you can tread it, being guided by the power of the Spirit, then the pitfalls will not affect you. When you learn to assess yourselves, when you learn to understand yourselves and realize yourselves, when you can see yourselves as one great family of spirit, when you can see a man who perhaps is a stranger to you, and who perhaps previously you had no liking for or no interest in, because of the color of his skin, or the circumstance of his birth, or his background. Perhaps to you he is uneducated, rather stupid and foolish. Perhaps to you there is no reason why you should have any inclination towards affection or regard or love, when you can see all those creatures as one family. And each and every one from a different perhaps level of consciousness and awareness, but each one vital and important to the whole. When you can nurture those less fortunate than yourselves, who perhaps are bereft of love and understanding, when you can say, this one is as dear to me as my closest, then you will begin to open up and flower. There are many in your world to whom you'd like the message of the Spirit to go. We know it will not be easy. And even though they receive the message, there will be many who will close their ears and will not wish to listen, because they will have their own reasons. People do not like to change. They are caught up in habit. They are caught up in old feuds. They are caught up in old religious beliefs that cling to them like a suit of armor, and they cannot be divested of it. And some of them indeed give the impression as if they were going into battle, to war, because they cannot divest themselves of this facade. For it is nearly a facade built around them, sometimes as a protection, so they think, against others, and perhaps they don't realize it against themselves. You, I feel, are free. At least you are well on the way to that freedom of which I speak, when you can discard the outworn creeds and the dogmas, the feuds and the stupidities that these things have bred through centuries of time. Christ and other great teachers, they were men of great fundamental simplicity, for the Spirit is simple. The fundamental truth of the Spirit is simple, though difficult perhaps to comprehend, while yet encased in the flesh, because of the limitations perhaps to some extent brought to bear upon it, but nevertheless, all the great teachers, and I take Jesus as the highest example, knew these truths. The miracles so termed, which he performed, and others of which you know not, were simple laws brought into operation by the power of the Spirit. When you realize that your world is an illusion, you may say it is a very solid, real world to us. Of course it is, while you are existing in it and partaking of it, but nevertheless it is a world in a sense of illusion, for man has created it. Man has brought forth over the centuries of time that from which you suffer. I use the word suffer. There are blessings, of course there are many blessings, that you have made a world that is so full of chaos, so full of uncertainty, so full of fear. You have deluded yourselves through centuries of time, thinking that the material world was the be-all and the end-all, with a vague possibility of something to come after so-called physical death, with very little realization. Various groups of peoples over passing of the years of time have created these religions based on the idea of the premise that there was something after death, providing, of course, in most instances, if not all, as laid down by that particular organization or group, adhering to certain principles, some of them good, I do not condemn in that sense, because the fundamental truth underlying all religions is the same. It is just that it is thwarted by man in his stupidity, in his foolishness, in his ignorance. And they have built up over the centuries, of course, great edifices, great power, great wealth, all material, nothing to do with the reality of the spirit, nothing to do with the great Jesus, this man of great humility and simplicity, and yet of great strength, and a man who was and is as yourselves. See yourselves as you truly are. Do not be deceived. It is so easy to deceive yourselves. And mean well, how oft times have we heard people say, I mean well. I do my best. I do try. At least that is an admission that you failed to some extent, obviously. But this isn't sufficient. We do not ask you, as I've already said, that you should be perfect. For we are not perfect. But we do ask you, since your eyes have been opened to the truth of the Spirit, that you follow it out to the best of your ability, and that you seek only that which is truly of the Spirit, and be not content, as so many are, with the things that are of the nursery, the signs, the wonders. They are important. They have their place. And we should exhibit them in a sense here, as best we may, from time to time. But these are not the vital things. Jesus employed them. All the great prophets, all the great seers, all the great teachers from time to time employed the powers of the Spirit to demonstrate, so that conviction could be given to others, to inspire them, to encourage them. But these are merely things that are given to help you overcome the circumstances in which you find yourself, whether it is through bereavement. When I come into your world, I see the unhappiness and the sadness, particularly those who, as they think, have lost someone near and dear, someone whom they nurtured, someone whose love meant all to them, and they are bereft and alone, sad, unsure, uncertain, depressed, sometimes even contemplating a way out in the hope that they will join the person that has preceded them. We are ever conscious of these needs. We are ever conscious of the desires of human beings, wherever they may be or whoever they may be. But try to see it in a clearer way. In your material lives, you have created another life, brought it into being. You've nurtured it, done everything in your power to help that spirit. And then it has suddenly been cut off. You no longer feel anything anymore. But you cannot kill the spirit. The body, yes. The shell, the outer covering, the vehicle of expression, the house, call it what you will. But that which you have labored in love to bring into being still lives, more vital, more alive, more beautiful than anything you could have ever hoped or dreamed about. Near you, striving to reach you, to impress you, to inspire you, to comfort you. From time to time, souls come back to you to speak to you. Sometimes they recount mundane things to try to prove the reality of their existence to you. Sometimes they fail, sometimes they succeed. Everyone must have his own level, I suppose, of what is for him evidence for survival. But try to see this in a different light. Try to see that you are nurturing love. Not only bringing it into being, but you are nurturing love of all humanity. That all humanity is part of you, and all God's creatures, so called, are sharing the same animating force that gave you life. Everything that is exists. The outer shell may die, may disappear. You may open up the earth and put in that which was once dear and near to you and cover it up. You may raise a headstone, and you may weep above it and place your flowers of remembrance. But it is not there, the spirit. The spirit is within you, and all around and about you. And it is this divine love that makes all life possible, that makes all that is. And believe me, my friends, that our coming together today is beginning, I hope and I pray, and deep within my innermost self I know it is the opening, the jar of the door between the world and the spirit and you. Be patient. Expect not perhaps too much too soon. And when I have finished that which I have had to say, take your photographs and then say adieu. May the peace and the love of the spirit ever be with you, as I know it will. Animate your every action, every thought. May the strength and the reality of these things open the paths more clearly, more surely, for those who are seeking truly these things which are eternal. Farewell, my children.
Friend.
We are humbled so much that you're
may we privilege to know your name, perhaps in the last life.
Names, my friend, are as nothing. They too, like the body, disappear with the passing of time, but the spirit remains. You may call me, if you will, Matthew.
Thank you.
But that is sufficient. Name. Names in themselves are as naught. It is the spirit that matters. The spirit that matters.
Thank you, Matthew. God bless you. Oh, I'm sorry, I have to go. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a wonderful talk.